Well, good morning again. Happy Sabbath. How many of you are happy this morning? Amen? Aren't we happy to be in a house of God to worship? I can't imagine not coming to church. What would you be doing if you weren't coming to church? Very strange to be at home on a Sabbath. I've been all my life. When I was unconverted, I was not going to church. But in conversion, I had to go to church. I wanted to be in church. Amen? So I'm very grateful and thankful this morning to be worshiping our Lord and Savior, our God, our King, our Creator, our Savior. And I'm sure you feel the same way, that we can come together as a church to fellowship. Unfortunately, the laws are stringent today. We can't even hug each other. We can hug. We can hug. And we can handshake. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here, giving me the privilege to share His Word. And I'm going to be blessed today because I know the words will come from the throne of God this morning. So having said that, I'm going to kneel. You may do so. You just bow your heads as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne of grace. We come on bended knees, asking, Lord, that You will worship and dine with us today, that You will send Your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds, that we might understand, because our minds cannot understand, let alone discern spiritual things. But this morning we're asking, Lord, because You said to ask and it shall be given, to seek and he shall find, and knock and it shall be open. We claim that this morning, that Your words will be as the sun shineth in the day. Forgive us where we've fallen short, Lord. Forgive us for our neglect. Forgive us for our inconsistencies. Whatever it might be that is separating us from You, please remove it today, that we may be filled with Your love and Your joy. Come now, Father, and speak with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'd like to welcome all of you that are streaming live. I have some friends from Hawaii that are streaming. They had to wake up early this morning. They're 3 hours behind, so it's about 8:30 there. So I'd like to welcome you guys from the islands. Aloha. Also, my friends that are up north. All parts of the United States, I'd like to welcome you to Seventh-day Sabbath, streaming live on this Sabbath morning. As you can see, our title is A Sure Foundation. How many of you, including myself, are on a sure foundation? No hands. No hands. I want you to think about this. Are you on solid ground? Are you on the rock? Huh? I went to look up that word, sure. You know what it means? It means certain, unfailing, infallible, paramount, firm, without doubt. Are you sure? Are you sure that you are on a sure foundation? I looked up that word foundation. Foundation means anything that is supported by a structure, an edifice. That means you're on solid ground. The rock. Amen. Amen. How many of you have been to Yosemite? And you've seen that granite rock straight up. That solid granite. Isn't that solid rock? But there's something more solid than that. And this morning we're going to look at, are you on a sure foundation? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. This is a familiar text that all of you have read. I remember going through cradle roll and through primary, and I learned on this story. Everybody knows this story. But we're going to look at it from a different perspective this morning, because we're living in this time now where verse 25, but let's go to 24 first, where it says, therefore, whosoever heareth, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. What does that flood represent? The flood! What happened in the flood? Destruction! Was there any living thing in the flood? Well, we're not talking about the ark. We're talking about the flood. It was destruction. The whole world was destroyed. And my Bible tells me that the rain descended and the flood came up and the winds blew. What does winds represent? Strife. What are we facing this morning? Destruction. We're facing strife. And the church is sleeping. I read this account, and I wanted to apply it to our time this morning. What we're facing. The winds blew and beat upon that house. The church is being beat on. But it fell not. Amen? For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth, verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it, what happened? It fell. And great was the fall of it. We're facing a time now in our generation where the prophets written. We're seeing it clear as day. Do you guys see it? Huh? The testimony of the Lord is sure. Turn with me to Luke. Let's confirm this. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 6. This is the account of Dr. Luke. But he puts it in different perspective in the book of Matthew. Are you there? Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Well, let's go to 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. We're looking at a sure foundation this morning. The rock. A sure foundation. Verse 48. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Are you founded upon a rock this morning? My brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where we need to be grounded. Built firmly, founded on that rock. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built upon a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Are you on a sure foundation? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm setting the groundwork of our study. A sure foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is a rock. You should know that by now, right? You know who we're talking about? He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock. My brothers and sisters, Isaiah portrayed the future which we are living in this morning. In Isaiah 59, we didn't need to turn there, but Isaiah 59:14, it says, and judgment is turned away backward. Well, my Bible is telling me that he is the rock. All his ways are judgment. But today, we're living in a time where judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, and truth has fallen into the street, and equity cannot enter. We're living in a time now that there's lawlessness. And this world is crumbling. The storm is raging. Ellen White puts it like this. In Desire of Ages, page 413, she said, upon this rock, said Jesus, I will build my church in the presence of God and all the heavenly intelligences, in the presence of the unseen army of hell. Christ founded his church upon the living rock. So, we're not in this church by chance. We are in a church that is built on the living rock. You believe you're on a solid foundation? Do you believe you're in the true church? That rock is himself. His own body for us, broken and bruised. Against the church built upon this foundation, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen, sister. Did you hear that? I heard one amen on this statement. Against the church built upon this foundation, the gates of hell shall not prevail it. Whether it's storming, whether it's flooding, whether it's strifing, whether the winds are blowing, it will not fall. You're on a sure foundation. Turn with me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. We're just going through some familiar texts this morning on our study of a sure foundation. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a what? A foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a what? Sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I'd like to read a statement. This is found in Desire of Ages, page 413. I want to lay the groundwork of our study this morning. It says, 4:13, Desire of Ages. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Upon this rock, said Jesus, I will build my church. That rock is himself. And you know, back in the Christ time, how feeble the church appeared when Christ spoke these words. There were only a handful of believers, only a few, that really believed who he is and who he was. She continues, Ellen White, there was a handful of believers against whom all the powers of demons and evil men would be directed to. So my friends, our church is being targeted by all the what? The demons and of evil men of this world. This church is being attacked this morning. You know, we look at other churches that are closed, but more primarily, it's a target for this church. The true church. The Seventh-day Adventist church. The true remnant. Amen? We are in warfare, my friends. All of this is being orchestrated by demons and evil men. Yet, listen to this, yet the followers of Christ were not to fear. Are you afraid? Well, that's human. Humanly, yeah, we're all. If you're going to lose your job and not be able to pay for your rent or your mortgage, are you going to be in fear? Yes. If you don't know when your next meal is coming, are you going to be in fear?
No.
I like that, Ron. Thank you. But this is what we're warring against this morning. But she says, built upon the rock of their strength, they could not be overthrown. We are on a sure foundation. We need to be on a sure foundation. Amen? 599. Desire of Ages. I'm turning there. I'm going to find it. Praise the Lord. She's got a lot of statements that I love, but these are something that we all need to dwell on, because we are living in a time of, I don't even know what to use the word. We're living in a time when what? Tell me. Huh? We're living in a time where it's not. We're not safe. This woman says we're living in the time of the end. I believe that. How about you guys? Yes, something is not right, and they call this the new normal. It's not. No, it's not. Desire of Ages 598. Ellen White pens it in this statement. She says, in infinite wisdom, God chose the foundation stone and laid it in himself. He called it a sure foundation. The entire world may lay upon it their burdens and their griefs. We have burdens? Do we have griefs? Yes, we do. I mean, honestly, we're all facing it. No one is exempted what we're going through right now. Some people they're lost their jobs. I got friends that I work with at the university, been unemployed since March. And then she told me that her unemployment is going to run out this end of the month. I felt for her. But here, I'm going to give you a promise. The entire world may lay upon it their burdens and griefs. It can endure them all. With perfect safety, they may build upon it. We're going to look at how we're going to build on it. Christ is a tried stone. A tried stone. Those who trust in him, he never disappoints. Like David, he says, O taste and see that the Lord is good? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? He has borne every test. To those who believe, Christ is the sure foundation. Now, it's easy for me to say and read and say Christ is the sure foundation, but have we ever experienced it? Because my brothers and sisters, we have to experience Christ. These are they who fall upon the rock and are broken. So in order for us to experience a sure foundation, we have to experience, as Ellen White says, we have to be broken up. What happens when the rock is broken up? It goes into many pieces. Right? Not only be broken up, it says, she says, submission to Christ and faith in Him are represented. So now we're broken up. Go with me to Psalms 51. Go with me to Psalms 51. Again, this is a text that's familiar. We're just reviewing this morning on our subject, a sure foundation. Psalms 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. So, being broken up. You mean to tell me our hearts that are hardened needs to be broken up. Submitted to Christ. Submission to Christ and faith in Him are here represented. To fall upon the rock and be broken is to give up, listen, to give up our self-righteousness. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I keep the Sabbath. Did you realize that in order for you to keep the Sabbath, you have to be holy? Friday night comes, I turn the light switch on, I'm going to be holy for 24 hours. And then when the sun sets, I'm going to live like the devil. What in the world kind of Sabbath keeping is that? The Bible and the Desire of Ages, page 83, she says, in order for us to keep the Sabbath holy, you have to be holy 6 days out of the week. Submission to Christ. To fall upon the rock and be broken is to give up our self-righteousness. Do you have righteousness? We don't have any righteousness. Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Christ has the righteousness. We need to give up our self-righteousness and go to Christ with the humility of a child. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, it says, unless you become a little child, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Why do you think Jesus brought that up in Matthew chapter 18? Because us adults, we think we know it all. When we argue on doctrine, I know it all. And I'm going to put Pastor Mata in his place. Because he believes a certain way. We need to give up our self-righteousness and go to Christ with the humility of a child, repenting of our transgression and believing in His forgiveness. It is by faith and obedience. Oh, here's those two words. Faith and obedience. Faith. What is faith? So then faith cometh by hearing. Are you studying the Word of God? Are you spending time with God? Are you opening the Scriptures and the pen of inspiration? Are you studying to show thyself approved? We're looking at a sure foundation. You need to dig deep, my friends. I was in the Philippines 1 year, and they were building this 50-story skyscraper in Manila. And everything around it was structure. They had to go down deep. And as I watched, I said, wow, that's really deep. They went 9 stories down, 10 stories down. Because I remember when I went back, I went down there in a car to the driveway, and it was parking lot all the way down into bedrock. They went down deep. And we in this church need to go deep into the Word of God this morning. It is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then she says, obedience. Are you obeying what God has been counseling you and I this morning? This is the way. Walk ye in it. I got to give that up. Yes, give it up. Stop watching the mainstream media narrative. You know what that means? The mainstream media narrative? All it means is saying they're telling you stories. Turn your TV off. And so also it is by faith. Faith. And obedience that we build on Christ as our sure foundation. Are we building for the times that are coming ahead of us? The testimony of the Lord is sure. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to His riches. My friends, upon this living stone, which is Christ, the rock, the Jews and Gentiles alike may build. This is the only foundation upon which we may securely build. So we're building, preparing, country living, amen? One amen, come on. You know where we should be already. Me too. When I say that, I'm talking to myself. This is not in condemnation. I need to hear it too. This is the only foundation upon which we may securely build. It is broad. Listen, it is broad for all of us. Strong enough to sustain the weight and the burden of the whole world. And you know what? Our little world is just a speck of dust in this vast universe. Floating in this universe, a speck of dust. Can you see yourself on that speck? That's us. And we think we know we have something to show. I'm somebody. I got my PhD. We're just a speck. Ellen White calls it a dot in this vast cosmos. She continues, she says, and by connection with Christ, the living stone, all who build upon this foundation becomes a living stone. Would you like to become a living stone? You know why, my friends? Because if you became a living stone, Ellen White tells us in The Mount of Blessing, page 210, she says, 66, by the way, page 66, she says, if Christ is dwelling in the heart, it is impossible to conceal the light of His presence. We can build on this. Christ is the living stone. Many persons are by their own endeavors hewn, polished, and beautified, but they cannot become a living stone because they are not connected with Christ. If we are connected with Christ, it is impossible to conceal the light of His presence. Those who profess to be followers of Christ, if they are not the light of the world, it is because they're not connected to the source of light. They're not connected to the vital power. My friends, this morning we need to be connected if we are going to have a sure foundation. Without this connection, what did I say? Or what did she said? Without this connection, no man can be saved. Not one. I can relate this to the work I do. I work on air conditioning units at the university, Loma Linda. And the first thing I do when I come up to a AC unit to work on it, I disconnect the power. Why do I disconnect the power? I disconnect the power so that I don't get killed. This power can kill you. Without this connection, no man can be saved. Without the life of Christ in us, we cannot stand, we cannot withstand the storm that's coming. Storm is coming, relentless in its fury. You read it? This is not something new to you. No. No. A storm of temptation is coming. See, the devil, just all he wants you to do is sin. Sin. That's all he wants you to do. Just sin. But Jesus, did Jesus sin? No, not one sin was not found in him. Our eternal safety depends upon our building upon a sure foundation. You know, I gathered this information just right out of the pen of inspiration. But she says, multitudes are today are building upon a foundation that have not been tested. Has your foundation been tested? Have my foundation been tested? When the rain falls, the tempest rages, the flood comes up, there's going to be a flood coming. A flood of temptation. What are you going to do when you cannot buy or sell? What are you going to do when you can't buy toilet paper? Huh? What are you going to do when you can't buy a can of beans? Huh? Or gasoline? What happens when you can't buy gas? When the rain falls and the tempest rages, the flood comes, their houses will fall. Why? Because it is not founded upon the eternal rock, the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. This is something not new to you, I'm sharing. I'm just reviewing with you this morning to emphasize you and I need to be on a sure foundation this morning. I'm going to read, continue. I know that you read this from the Desire of Ages, but I submit to you this morning, pull out that book. Pull it out. Pull out the Desire of Ages. This book changed my life. You know, I've read it. I've underscored it. I've marked it. And every time I pull out the book, I find something else that I missed. I said, how did I miss that? It's not even marked. This statement is not even marked. But God just wanted to see it for me that particular morning. Reminding me. She says this, to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, Christ is a rock of offense. Let me read that again. To them which stumble at the word, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? We must throw away our self-righteousness. And here, she says, to them which stumble at the word. We stumble, we fall, but we pick ourselves up. Okay? When you fall, you don't just stay there. You get up. Right? Amen? You get up. She says this. Christ is a rock of offense. What he does, he sends the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 16, Pastor Vipula brought it up in a Bible text this morning in John 16, 8, where he says, when he is come, the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he will reprove sin. Reprove sin. I've shared this before. Some of you haven't heard this testimony, but the Spirit of God comes into your life and he starts to show you the things in your life. And he started to show me the things in my life. Things I've done years ago. I'm not going to share the whole story, but the Holy Spirit started to show me the things that I needed to confess and repent 38 years ago. Go pay back the guy you stole money from. You think I could do that by myself? No, because I am selfish and self-righteous. I couldn't do it myself. I don't have the righteousness of Christ. God had to send the Holy Spirit to convict me, to reprove me from that sin. And God is merciful with me. Why? Because I had all the baggage of sin and burden. And he didn't show it to me all at one time because it would have overwhelmed me. So God took me step by step, step by step. And as I started to take forward, advance. By the way, Ellen White tells us, only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are daily, listen, unless we are daily advancing in the daily exemplification of an active Christian virtue, we will not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. So when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he starts showing you the things that was contrary to the will of God. And he started to point it out to me. I said, oh Lord, I can't go see that guy I stole money from 38 years ago. But the power of God works. That divine power works. And he gives me that power to go knocking on his door to make right where I've gone wrong. And you know, the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But verse 18 says, God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's a gift that God gives you and I, the ministry of reconcile. You can't produce it in your own heart. It comes from God. So, to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, Christ is a rock of offense. But the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Like the rejected stone, Christ in his earthly mission had borne neglect and abuse. I won't have time to talk about that one. But he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Go read Isaiah 53. Read it. I remember when I was growing up, I had to remember the whole chapter. Isaiah 53. I'm sure you did. He was despised. But the time was near when he would be glorified. Christ was going to be lifted up. He was going to be glorified. By the resurrection from the dead, he would be declared the Son of God with power. Have you experienced this power this morning? The power of God in your life? My friends, we are living in a time that we are going to need a sure foundation. And that sure foundation is Jesus Christ, the righteous. At his second coming, he would be revealed as Lord of heaven and earth. I can't imagine that day when He comes in the clouds of heaven. Our little puny brain cannot comprehend this. But we're going to be facing a tumultuous time ahead of us. But God gives us the promise this morning. And those who were now about to crucify Him would recognize His greatness. Ellen White tells us, whomsoever it shall fall, it would grind him to powder. I want to finish this paragraph, but this is a powerful paragraph. 600, Desire of Ages. It was the rock which they had built upon. It would have been their security. These are the Jews that wanted to kill Jesus. And they did kill Jesus. They did. But they didn't understand who He was. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, men set themselves in opposition to God. And all that would have been their salvation was turned to their destruction. All that God ordained unto life, they found to be unto death. This is the Jews. She's talking about the Jews. But there's an application for you and I this morning in the Great Controversy, chapters 1, in the destruction of Jerusalem. That has an application to the end time. It had a dual application for them and for us this morning. In the Jews, crucifixion of Christ was involved the destruction of Jerusalem. The blood shed upon Calvary was the weight that sank them to ruin for this world and for the world to come. So it will be in the final day when judgment shall fall upon the rejecters of God's grace. Christ is the rock of offense. This is from The Upward Look, page 265. Every obstacle. Anybody has obstacles in their lives this morning? No? Everybody's good? Every obstacle to the redemption of the people of God is to be removed by the opening of the Word of God and the presentation of a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." I don't think you got that. Let me read that again. You know, sometimes you have to reread and reread until you can fully grasp what she's saying. That's why it's always good to review. And we're reviewing this morning. This is nothing new to you. This is something that's been written for our admonition, for our time. Every obstacle, you have an obstacle, there's a solution. Every obstacle to the redemption of the people of God is to be removed. How? By opening the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, the true light is to shine forth, for darkness covers the earth. Isaiah 60. The world is in darkness. And it's covering the earth. You think you're seeing something now? You ain't seen nothing yet. We are clueless what we're going to be facing. The truth of the living God is to appear in contrast with error. Proclaim the glad tidings. What is this glad tiding? It's the good news of salvation. We need to tell the world what Jesus has done for you. Did you realize what the gospel is? The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. When you are transformed, what happens to you? What happens to you? What happened to Stephen when he went to council, up to council? Was his face shining? How about Moses when he came down from the mount? He had an experience, did he not? When you are having an experience with Christ, you cannot hide it. For the true light is to shine forth, for darkness covers the earth. And then we need to proclaim this glad tiding, the good news of salvation. We have a Savior who has given His life that all who believe Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Upward look, page 265. Obstacles to the advancement of the work of the Lord will appear, but fear not. To the omnipotence of King of Kings, our covenant-keeping God unites the gentleness of care to a tender shepherd. Nothing. How many? Nothing can stand in His way. His power is absolute. And it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of His promises to His people. We're looking at a sure foundation this morning. You see, my friends, this is the church of God. The church of Christ is God's agency for the proclamation of the truth, empowered by Him to do a special work. So we don't just come to church to sit down. We are given a special work. Huh? A special work. And if she is loyal to God, obedient to all His commandments, there will dwell within her the excellency of divine power. Obedient to all His commandments. All 9 commandments. Is that okay? All 10. Because Matthew 24 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached into all the world for a witness. That means people are going to see. They're going to witness it. And who they're going to witness it from? So that means this gospel of the kingdom shall be a witness. That means you will be a witness. Right? You're going to reflect who? Amen. Because she says, the knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the law exemplified in character. So this gospel, it's going to be preached to the world. And if we are obedient to all His commandments, there will dwell within her the excellency of divine power. Explain to me what is divine power. Make it plain. Make it simple. What does that mean? Divine power. That means, you know what that means? You are transformed. What I was 25 years ago, I had a conversion 20 years ago. When I was in the church, but I was out of the church. I looked like a Seventh-day Adventist when people looked at me. But when they're not watching, I was somebody else. I had a transformation of character. I used to live a life, and you know what I'm talking about. But when God took a hold of this hardened heart, He transformed me. And He's continuing to transform me, to change me. It was not by my will, but it was from a divine power. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The way I used to talk, I don't speak anymore. The things that I used to watch, I don't watch anymore. The things that I used to listen to, I don't listen to, like the media. The mainstream media. You didn't get that. A transformation of character. Divine power. We are obedient to all His commandments. There will dwell within her the excellency of divine power. If, when Ellen White pens it, if, there's a condition, if she will honor the Lord God of Israel, there is no power that can stand against her. When the winds blow, the flood will come in and beat upon the house. There's no power that can stand against her. If you are obedient, if you are obedient, we will be filled with the divine power. If she will be true to her allegiance, the forces of the enemy will be no more able to overpower her than the chaff to resist the whirlwind. There's no power on this earth that can touch you. If there's a condition. You know what that condition is this morning? This is before the church, the dawn of a bright and glorious day. 265, upward look. If she will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. This is a righteousness by faith message this morning. You can be righteous by faith. If you put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. So what is this righteousness of Christ? It's his life. How he lived his life. Withdrawing. Listen. Withdrawing from all alliance with the world. Like turning off your TV. Withdrawing alliance from the world. Is the TV the world? We need to withdraw. Turn off your TV. Stop listening to the mainstream narrative media. Because it brainwashes you. The members of the church needs now to confess their backsliding. Are we backsliding? I hope not. We need to advance daily in the exemplification of an active Christian virtue. Active Christian virtue. There's no standing still today. How many books did you pass out this past week? No hands. An active Christian virtue. This is a sure foundation. The rock Jesus. If Christ is dwelling in the heart, it is impossible to conceal the light of his presence. Listen, my brothers and sisters, allow nothing to come in that will separate you from one another, from God. Anything that separates you from Christ, you need to be surrendered. Come before God and plead the shed blood of the Savior as a reason that you should receive help in the warfare against evil. We're in a war, my friends. We are in a war. It's a battle. Every day I have to surrender to Christ. I can't fight this war by myself. The moment I leave my house, it's a warfare. And I can see it. I see it clear as day. The moment I leave my house, it's a warfare. I tell this story all the time. I'm praying. And before my house, before I leave my house, I'm on my bike riding. I see the warfare clearly. I have to battle with myself. I'm asking the Lord to guide my lips, my thoughts, my words. I need to be on a sure foundation. Plead with God. Because we are in a warfare this morning. And you know what they said? This is just an exercise. This is all the preliminary. We have no clue what we're going to be facing. You go read, and we have a sure word of prophecy, yes. But not one pastor told me, when I told them about this coronavirus, did you see this coming? Not one. Not one said, we never knew it was going to turn out this way. The church are not churching anymore because of this coronavirus? As you draw near to God with heartfelt contrition and in full assurance of faith, the enemy who seeks to destroy you and me will be overcome. Amen? As you draw near to God, are you drawing near to God this morning, my friend? Not just this morning, but every day as you come humbly before His throne of grace. As you humbly come before His throne of grace, you submit your life to Him. Lord, show me what I need to do today. As you draw near to God with a heartfelt contrition, the enemy who seeks to destroy you will be overcome. Amen. 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 He is the sure foundation. She says this, He is the fountain of life and the source of all power. I want to close with this statement. Then I'm going to close. Listen, I don't have any words of my own. I have to read inspiration to share it with you. Amen? I don't have wisdom. But here, in this statement, I want to leave with you this morning that will encourage you, encourage me, so that I could have a sure foundation. All, she says this, this is page 21, Mount of Blessing, all who have a sense of their deep soul poverty and who feel that they have nothing good in themselves may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. She says, whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off. Looking unto Jesus. Listen, she says, He will throw His arms around you. And then He will put His robe of righteousness. So you know what that means? If you surrender to Christ this morning, you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You are righteous. You are righteous. His righteousness, not yours. Okay? Listen to this. His robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father clothed in a white raiment of His own character. Christ's imputed and imparted righteousness. You are righteous on this earth. Then she says this. He presents us to the Father clothed in the white raiment of His own character. He pleads before God in our behalf. Christ is where? Where is He now in the most holy place? What is He doing? Interceding for every one of us. The door is about to close. We don't know when. Probation is going to end soon. We don't know. But here, this is the promise. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me, Jesus says. Look on me. I will cover you. I will cover you. I will cover you. You will cover me, Lord. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls? Yes, he's pleading against you and all of us. But listen. Does Satan plead loudly against your souls, accusing you of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He's our only hope. In this world of confusion, Jesus is a sure foundation. I want to make an appeal this morning. Despite of what is happening in this world today, you know that you have a sure foundation. How many of you this morning want to rededicate your life to the Lord today? Amen. 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 We need to rededicate our lives today. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Let's take it to the Lord this morning. Let's kneel as we come boldly to His throne of grace this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it seems like I just went scrambling with words this morning. But Lord, I know You guided my thoughts. I know You spoke through me today, Lord, because I have no words. I'm like a man of unclean lips. But Father, I pray that the words I spoke today may reach the hearts of Your people. We know, Father, that we're living in a critical time in earth history. Sometimes we want to believe that things will get normal. But we know, Father, that it's not going to be getting normal. It's just going to get worse. And not to be discouraged, but Lord, we gave the promises this morning that if we are faithful to You, there's no power on this earth that can destroy it. So Father, I pray for every hand that went up that wanted to rededicate their lives, including myself. Father, as we come on bended knees, we ask that You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way of everlasting. Father, we love You. We praise You. We empower us that we may live that life, the life of Jesus, that we may be a reflection of Your love, Your joy, Your peace. Thank You, Lord, for every hand that went up. Work in their lives. Empower each one, Lord, that they can be victorious, so that we can prepare for the final crisis that is coming upon this world. Strengthen the church, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we keep looking to Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. We love You, we praise You, and we thank You, Father, for hearing, but not only hearing our prayer, but answering our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.